Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Well, hello, we're back. It's Matthew Tosh and Laura Lelaney here with a sparkly dose of LGBTQ radio for you.
Hello, on this week's show we'll be speaking to you, to the Bristol's Gay Man's Chorus and hearing about, from my umbrella, about Trans Remembrance Day.
Hans and Steffi will be here to talk us through kinks and confusion, and we have an exclusive new release from Brooke Tate.
Plus, news, music, and hopefully not too many bad jokes from Matthew.
Oh, thank you.
You know they're bad.
Indeed. Well, I guess it's an all-singing, all-dancing show. If I can get the risk assessment done, we may even have some dancing as well.
Oh, please don't. Your moves aren't to be...
Well, it's all happening here. And now, Laura, last time I was on the show with you, it was about 3 weeks ago, and you went to pains to say that your genetic makeup makes you suited for hot, sunny climates.
It does.
Now, I was very concerned this morning because when I left the house to do the breakfast show this morning on One Love Breakfast, it was snowing.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to check in with you. How are you faring up?
I'm not. It's a struggle every day, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want to get... My room...
I'm just looking at... How many layers have you got on there?
I know, a lot. Basically, my room is the coldest room in the house. And it means I'm going to have to get a heater and I don't care about bills. Well, I'm going to when I get the bill. But at this moment in time, I just don't want to freeze. So yeah, parts of me feel like they're about to drop out off. The parts that are kind of useful for me and probably potential partners. So like, I need them to stay on my body so that I'm not surviving. I feel like I need to have like winter in the Caribbean and then come back in the summer, even though the summer's are yet to be desired, but you know.
Is this an appeal, if there's any listeners wanting to donate and feeling benevolent
Laura's
holiday
fund?
Right, we've got Steph Barnett, our producer this week, in the studio.
We do. Good evening. I was just saying, don't we have the barrels going out to the Caribbean? We have an ad playing on BCFM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, you could climb in one of them.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
The barrels?
A lot of Caribbean people that come over here send a lot of things back because of the climate and the economical climate in the Caribbean. So they like to send like gifts and stuff back to their parents or their family or things like that, which is really cool. So if anyone's looking to put a life-sized, obviously I'm life-sized, but like a sassy, beautiful, brown ass,
did you say gay useful?
Ass woman in a barrel and send it to the Caribbean, I am your gal.
Well, that sounds inhumane, but we've made a note of that. We've written that one down.
I don't care about suffocation.
I'm going to say good evening and bring Hans Peregrine in.
My favourite person.
Oh, good evening.
Maybe you could get in the same barrel together.
I mean, that wouldn't be... Ooh.
It would be interesting. It'd be very warm.
I mean, yeah. It'd be a lot of things.
Or maybe
it'd
we could just get a pocket, Laura.
Yeah.
Put you in my coat pocket. It'd be really warm.
I mean, who's the shorter one here? So
it's always me. I'm Frodo Baggins height.
Yeah,
you know, I'm aware.
You can put me... Yeah, I'll be like a... What is it? The kangaroos. You can like,
in
be my
pouch.
Joey. You can be my Joey. Yeah.
Sorry, good evening, Matthew.
Great stuff. How are you doing over there?
Absolutely fine. Not cold, no.
And you're by the window. We had one of our other producers was just opening the window, wafting it before we started the show. Because it's if you've never been in a radio studio before, it could get quite warm because of all the equipment. And so a lot of radio stations have air conditioning. But when the temperature's like this, we can be environmentally friendly and just open the windows.
We can.
And then all our bits fall off.
Can we open the window? No, we're never going to open this window because the wind is lethal. Can everyone just agree with that?
It is quite lethal.
It goes through my bones and I feel like I'm an old person saying that, but it really does. Like it travels through
my
body.
Oh, it's in my bones.
It's in my bones.
I don't know why I'm old and cockney.
Oh, I don't know either. But yeah, no, it definitely goes through your bones. I don't really like
it. I'm getting very confused, but then I get confused very easily. Now, speaking of confusion,
yes.
We've got a very special My Five on this week's show, which does touch on confusion and kinks. And Hans, you're going to kick us off with that, aren't you?
I am going to kick you off with kinks, Matthew. Ooh. That is correct.
Well, go for it. We're standing by.
Okay, so I thought this evening we could just have a little chat, really. Hopefully we won't be taking the show all by myself. I'm sure people have got their own thoughts and stuff. But it kind of came about because a few months ago I got into sort of very open conversation around kinks, and I've had people talk to me about it before, but it's not something I really knew much about. I also thought that kinks and fetishes were the same thing. I thought that there was about five of them. And yeah, just having this conversation opened up my mind a lot and allowed me to ask questions, which I think is brilliant. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know what your take on kinks and
A lot of tape.
Did you like my little pause there? Because I saw you about to say something.
No, just on a really important point there, you talked about kinks and fetishes.
Yes.
What is that difference between the two of those?
So a kink is an activity or behaviour that someone enjoys that exists outside of the norm of traditional sex.
So it's it is a sexual activity or in that sort of domain.
Yeah, it's in that domain. Yeah. So someone's kink could be bondage, or someone may have a bondage fetish, and their entire sexuality may sort of revolve around that. Meanwhile, for example, a turn-on is something that simply sort of creates an arousal in a person.
Of course.
And I think it's important to recognise that people of all gender identities and all sexualities can be kinky.
It's a human thing.
Very, very human. And I think it's sort of an important... When we have these conversations, initially there can be sort of awkwardness and embarrassment, but I think normalising things, is what is so important for people, and also can be a great and fun conversation. You know, for me, sort of finding out about people and what interests them is interesting in itself, and just sort of reading into it. Some of the most obvious kinks, which I did know about, evolved around underwear and clothing in general.
Yeah.
And those are the things that people sort of recognise, and, you know, you walk past sex shops and those are the sort of things that are very obviously in the window. But then when I started to look into it a bit further, I mean, there's a really sort of big list of what people are interested in. Mm. And talking to people just throughout the week about this, the other thing that comes with it, which I sort of briefly touched on, is social stigma.
Yeah.
And also within the LGBTQ plus community, and with stigma, I think can come sort of embarrassment and shame. And when people try to talk about these things, it doesn't take much for somebody to sort of laugh or use words like that's disgusting, that's perverted, for people to feel really shut down. And I think when you're in the LGBTQ plus community, things are pretty tough at times. And really, acceptance is just invaluable.
But okay, so I'm going to be devil's advocate here, because as much as I would I support anything and pretty much everything people do, as long as it's to do with them and it's their own life, but how there are some fetishes and kinks that are a little bit on the cusp of, like, say, like throwing up, that could be a kink that people like to watch.
Yeah.
So like how as a person do you not judge, but how do you not go, ew, like, because that's not my thing? So how would you approach that kind of conversation?
I would say literally just take the first bit out. So don't do the ew.
Okay.
Just do like, oh, okay, that's really interesting. That's not my thing.
It's not my cup of tea, is it? That's it. When we're all different,
yeah.
I guess it goes back to that's what makes the world an interesting place. If we were all the same as human beings, all into the same things, we wouldn't get on. It would be really bland, wouldn't it?
It would be really bland. And I think, you know, I've touched on another subject before in regards to erotica, dinosaur erotica.
Oh, let's not go there.
Yeah, but it's important because, you know, you've also got other sides of that, which is like furries and those sorts of things. And recently, furries have been shamed on Twitter. I can't actually remember who by. No, it was a live Instagram feed by somebody. And I think those sorts of things can be really detrimental to people. And in speaking to Steffi earlier, we're also talking... I don't know if you wanted to...
Just before you do that, I just want to rewind, because you define kinks. I'm not sure we got the definition of a fetish. Was that the turn-on that you were talking about? What's the difference between the kink and the fetish? Have you identified one or not?
Oh, gosh, you've put me on the spot.
I've put me on the spot.
You have.
Don't worry.
I don't actually have an answer right now. Let me think.
Maybe that's something, if you're listening and you've got, yes, I know the difference between a kink and a fetish, or are they the same thing? Let us know. You can get in touch with us on social media. If you look for us on Twitter and Facebook, you can find us there. Send us a message.
Well, a fetish is a form of sexual desire in which gratification is linked to an abnormal degree to a particular object, item of clothing, or part of the body.
So they are intrinsically linked.
They are intrinsically linked, but not the same.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And it's usually men that have fetishes.
No, anyone.
Do you think?
Statistically.
No, statistically.
Yeah, statistically, but anyone.
Statistically, men are more likely to have a fetish than women.
So that's, more likely, that's a fact. But not exclusive.
It's not a statistic thing. No.
So, Steph, you were about to come in on the conversation.
Yeah, the fetish and kink. When you're trans, and you know that trans youth are sometimes put on hormone blockers, and that's devastating, and I've been through that myself. You're quite sure of who you are before you go through puberty and then go in from male to female trans. You get the testosterone, and testosterone is lethal and a poison if you were born with a female brain.
Yes, of course.
The problem there is, as you go through this massive confusion, because testosterone is a huge sex driver. So you start to become totally confused and think, hang on a minute, is this now becoming a fetish? Do I just want to wear women's clothes, or am I really gender dysphoric? And all trans folk will go through that. If you're transsexual, born with gender dysphoria, go through that massive confusion about this fetish, or is it a kink, or am I really gender dysphoric? And you will never know until you have the blockers and you have the HRT. Mm. So there's massive confusion out there. And there is this, as I say, all trans people go through this fetish thing.
It's, where would you go if you did have that kind of, oh, I don't know what to do? Because I know there's Off the Record in Bristol that really are good with and amazing with like trans youth. So is it places like that, do you think you can get them the most amount of information from
it? Psychotherapists, psychologists, and especially psychiatrists, which all trans folk have to go through. Psychiatrists to make sure that...
But 2 year or more waiting list don't really help. So there's also YouTube and other places that people can go.
There's a lot more help out there now. There was obviously, when I was growing up and going through that, there was no help.
Yeah,
I was on
the
my own.
Were still around.
Yeah.
I think what's so important is just finding one person. Just trying to find one person that you can talk to about it. You know, transitioning must be incredibly difficult, let alone having to go through puberty in the wrong body. So if you can just find that one person.
Yeah, I mean, my learning point here is that the confusion and how it could suggest that you may think that you've got some kind of fetish or a kink. That's I'd never anticipated that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. What an interesting conversation. I'm sure we'll come back to this topic. I think it warrants a bit more discussion. But speaking of genders and neutrality, I've got a track. It's called Gender Neutral.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There we go. We went Dutch with that one. Well, not actually literally Dutch, but that's Gender Neutral from Gulli, a Dutch artist.
You almost said that well.
Did you? So it was... because it should be gender neutral, but I listened to the lyrics very carefully, and he says the G, which I think is unusual for a Dutch person. But Gulli, you can find him online. He describes himself as a festival animal, beer drinker, and folk singer from the top shelf.
I do love that.
You like that?
I do.
I thought it was going to be about gender neutrality, so I watched the video, and it's all about beer drinking.
Okay.
So, you can be fooled by a song title. But I like it anyway. So, we're talking about singing and things. That's the topic of our interview, our main feature of the show. We're really pleased to have Ronan de Burke, who's come in from a brand new singing choir. It is the Bristol Gay Men's Chorus.
Well pronounced on my name, by the way.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. Very good.
I don't have the gorgeous accent that you have. Could I just ask you, could we get a little bit of howl around? If you just pop your headphones on, because it'll stop the whistling. That's lovely, and it's stop the dogs from howling at home. So Bristol with the Gay Men's Chorus, that's brand new, isn't it?
It is brand new, yeah. We just started a week ago. Well, we've kind of building it up for a little while. Started advertising around about September, October.
Mm-hmm.
With our first
Irish.
Session last week. I'm Irish, yeah. I haven't lost my Irish accent yet.
I like
I'm trying
that.
Not to.
Now the male voice choir. That's the thing I get because it's a very particular sound, isn't it?
It's a very particular sound. Yeah, definitely. It's something I want to do for quite a while. I've been involved in other choirs. We've got Sing Out Bristol going in Bristol for about just over 10 years now,
which you are part of, aren't you?
Yeah, so I'm MD of Sing Out Bristol.
Right,
I'll be MD of the new choir as well. For quite a few years, I wanted to just harness the kind of male voice sound. And we went to a festival of gay choirs in Cardiff in August. Saw some of the gay choirs, lots of gay choirs, some other male voice choirs as well. So London has a gay men's chorus. Brighton has a gay men's chorus, Edinburgh has a gay men's chorus, there's lots dotted around the world.
But of course, if you're in Cardiff, you must have had like the kind of valley sort of charm coming through in the voices.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What is it about that, do you think, that just male voices? Because a lot of people will hear choirs and you've got that lovely mixture of the of different voices right the way from soprano all the way down to bass. Obviously, you don't get that with a male, but why do you think it works?
I think it works with female voices as well, you know, and other kind of gender voices. If you just get this kind of single sound, you can work on that. There's something I think unique about the male voice choir as well. Maybe it's the depth or something of voices that you can get. You get those really deep, gravelly bass tones that people respond
to. What kind of music do you kind of want to be singing? Because I know a lot of choir, I mean, you saw the old women choir where they were singing some kind of ludicrous song, and I was like, oh God. So, like, what kind of songs or genres do you kind of want to display?
We want to do the kind of stuff that the old women's choir was doing.
Oh, okay. So, okay. I like it.
Be rude about the old women.
Oh, no, it was old women and men. It was singing ludicrous. I was like, oh, fair enough. Do your thing. But yeah.
No, I think we're going to go for a variety of music. So because it's brand new, we've had one rehearsal so far. There's about 20 people. We've got about the same amount coming along next time, which is good
that
to start
is
off
really
a choir.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's amazing.
So hopefully we'll have about 40 or so by the end of the year.
Do you have to be able to sing?
It helps.
I mean,
definitely helps.
But I know that it's a good question, Lara, because there will be people listening who are thinking, oh, you know, I kind of fancy, I want to do something, but I'm a bit nervous if I'm not, you know, I've never sung before, I've never been in a choir before. How do you coach that? How do you deal with that?
So one of the ideas behind Bristol Gay Men's Choir is that it will be a performing choir. That's the plan. That should be a performing choir. We kind of put that out there at the beginning. We're not going to audition, but we're going to do vocal assessments. Mm. So whoever comes along, we'll do a quick voice check to see which section they should fit into. Because typically in a straightforward choir, whatever, you have sopranos, altos, tenors and basses. Mm-hmm. In a male voice choir, we're going to have tenor ones, tenor twos, baritones and basses. So there's still four sections.
Mm. Would you have male altos in a choir like that or not? Because
if
that does exist.
If you found one, would you enter them into your...
Yeah, but they would fit into either tenor one, tenor two, baritone.
Got you.
They would fit into one of those. As long as they fit into one of those sections, definitely. And that's the kind of where we would work along that.
Okay.
Because, like, I've been in many a choir, but I know for sure I can't sing. And I was kind of placed at the back quite befittingly. So, like, is it... I know you want to perform, but would you... Say if I can't sing brilliantly, but I can hold some kind of a tune.
That's great.
You're totally welcome for me to come and experience just being in a male kind of...
Yeah, if you're up for giving it a go, if you're up to perform, then we can definitely work with that. If somebody has a kind of okay-ish voice... The more you sing, the more you practice, the more we'll work with you. Mm. That will improve your voice.
Of course. You know? It's just like any muscle, isn't it? You just got to exercise. Absolutely. So what's the funnest part of this experience for you in terms of starting it up and like meeting 20 people, which is amazing for a first meeting? What has like been your highlight so far? I know it's only been a week, but like...
I think the highlight so far has been the interest has been in it. We've had a really, really good response and huge amount of support from other choirs, from other people. Just, you know, we're out there on social media. There's been a lot of likes, a lot of sharing and so on. So it's really good to see. I think we just got the timing right. Bristol needs this now at this stage. And there's a really, huge amount of interest. So hopefully we might get more interest after tonight's show as well.
Now, I've been reading about the choir. You've got guiding principles. This has been well thought through, isn't it? Will you do get you to talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, so we have done quite a lot of research into how best to set it up and what we want to do and so on with the choir. And because there's lots of other choirs around the world who've done the same thing as this, it's quite easy to borrow some of their background and information and so on. So, just looking at...
A bit cagey when you say, yes, just sort of borrowed stuff.
I like a borrow and repurpose, that's a thing.
Air quotes about borrows.
So, like, how do you create a safe space, though? Because obviously you will have trans men and other men who identify as gay. So how do you make sure and ensure that it's a safe space for them so they're not feeling like, oh, the other kind of thing?
I think that will come. So the guiding principles that you mentioned are all this. We've got the kind of three S's, we call them. So there's singing, obviously, is the main one. Support is a really big one as well. Socialising will come into as well. But support is that we're supporting everybody in the choir and the community that we work in and so on. So we'd like to make sure, we'd like to ensure that it is a safe space for anybody who wants to come along to it. Mm,
that's good. That's so needed, though. Yeah. And I think it's such an amazing thing that you're doing, bringing people together, really.
Yeah.
And, of course, it is an opportunity for people to actually develop a new skill if they've not sung before and feel good about themselves.
Yeah. Interestingly, most of the people who've come along so far have sung before. Mm-hmm. Some people haven't sung since they were in school or whatever, you know, but it is kind of experience. They're not that much of a stranger to it. But as time goes on, we probably will get people who haven't done it.
So personally, what are you? Are you a tenor or a bass, or what do you like to do?
I'm probably a baritone.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So just for people that don't really know, because I have no idea about this tenor, baritone, please just explain to me what it is.
Tenor ones will be able to sing quite high. Mm-hmm. We're thinking BG.
Okay, BG
as in the Bee Gees.
Okay,
yeah, that way. Tenor two is a little bit lower than that. Baritone, we'd probably have more baritones than everything else because they're the kind of general range. Mm. And then basses would be the really low, deep. Yeah,
okay,
Barry White.
Okay, so say if you had so many baritones, how do you separate them out? Because obviously they're all baritones. You can't have four-stage choir. Yeah. So how do you kind of
navigate that? So part of the vocal assessment will help us to establish if some people are kind of borderline, if they could be a tenor two, if we worked on them a little bit more so they can move up a little bit.
I see.
But also the vocal assessments will allow, we need to make sure the choir is balanced. Mm. So we're going to try and keep as much of a balance between those sections as possible. So as it gets a little bit bigger, it might be that we have too many baritones, and then if somebody else applies to join and they're really good baritone, they might just have to wait until a space comes available, whatever, because we don't want to knock the balance out too much.
Yeah, so that speaks to my next question. It's like, where do you want to see this going? And so you say you want to perform, but where? And where do you kind of want to take it? What's your vision for it?
So I'd like to be as good as, if not better than, some of the other gay men's courses around
100%,
the UK.
Yeah.
Bristol can do this, yeah.
I think we can
do that sass click,
yeah,
of course.
Exactly, thank you for that.
Always.
And then, yeah, so from a performance point of view, obviously we do want to perform. Some of that's going to have to wait for a while until we see how the choir shapes up and when they'll be ready. But I've got some really good ideas about some of the music we want to do. So if they can cope with that, then we'll push to try and do performances sooner rather than later.
And would that just be in a concert hall, or like, those kind of places where people like to hear?
Yeah.
It's really interesting because you've got direction clearly, but it's also an organic process, isn't it? Because you're working with an unknown entity at the moment, which is hopefully going to grow over the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, I think we can probably get something really quite good up and running fairly quickly, even if it's pretty small. Mm. But once that's up and running, then hopefully that would attract more people, so we kind of grow organically.
And the kinds of programmes that you're going to do, you keep it varied, or is it going to be serious? Is it going to be hand-wavy, fun stuff?
It's going to be varied, yeah. So, well, we'd probably try and keep it varied. Some of that will be defined by how the sound goes once people start singing together and so on. But certainly for now, we're looking at world music, we're looking at pop music, we're looking at those big kind of belter tunes that male voice choirs are used to singing, whatever.
Yeah.
And some camp, fun, silly stuff as well, just to see how that goes.
Do you ever think of doing a cappella?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Like with the different percussion.
It'd be nice to do a vocal percussion as well. Mm. Yeah. But definitely, I mean, going back to the variety, there'll be a cappella songs, there'll be stuff with piano, there'll be stuff with backing tracks, and we'll have moves as well. So people
choreographed.
I like it. Yeah. What kind of age range are you looking for?
Whatever.
Anyone. So like you're going from university, maybe school students, maybe? Okay. Yeah. So like it's open to everyone, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be kind of 18 and up.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, because the voices are kind of established at that stage.
And people are going to be listening to this, guys listening to this thinking, I've had to give this a shot.
Yep.
How do they go about doing that?
So bristolgaymenschorus.org is our website.
Okay.
So they can sign up there, register interest, whatever.
Bristolgaymenschorus.org. We'll make sure we put that on the website.
Facebook as well. Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
So, and what's your handle on Facebook and Instagram?
Bristol Gay Men's Chorus.
Okay, cool. Just to reiterate,
we like that.
That.
I can do that. I can do that sort of thing. It's straightforward. It does exactly what it says on the tin, isn't it?
Literally, there's no kind of messing about with that.
No, we thought carefully about it.
Well, listen, Ronan de Burke, we wish you the very best of luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Maybe you'll come back and talk to us, or maybe we can catch you singing live. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be
performance.
Can we get them in the studio?
Yes, please. please. I actually do want
squeeze
this.
It in.
Yeah.
Or maybe come to rehearsal in a few months' time or something.
Yeah, and record what you're doing.
We could do that. We can make that happen. Yeah. Listen, Renan Booker, one of the founding people and the MD of the Bristol Gay Men's Chorus. If you're interested and want to find out more, we'll put the links on our website, or you can go to bristolgaymenschorus.org.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Jeremy Quay there and Space Cowboy. And staying with good music, we have an exclusive coming up after the news of first airplay of a track which is being released next week. More about that after the news. But I'm going to welcome the news team into the studio. We've got Hans Peregrine and Terry, Mr. Terry Starr.
Hello.
The star,
hello.
Man.
Sorry. Yeah, I love
Star. Just bring Laura back in. You get very excited,
Terry,
don't you?
Star!
Yeah, I don't know why, but Terry's like one of my favourite people to look at.
What voice would you put him in? Having had your education now.
Yeah. What do you mean, what voice?
What, is he a tenor? Is he a baritone? Is he
low,
I would say.
I say baritone.
I think you're a tenor. I think you'd be a tenor.
I think you'd be a baritone.
No, I think quite high. It could be castralto, which is
sounds like an ice cream.
Which I believe is one of the highest.
Of course,
in opera.
You would know that. We're all like tenors, and stuff. You're like castralto.
I think it's fantastic there's a gay men's chorus, because when I used to work for a gay adult shop, we used to, at Christmas time, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus Christmas album always sold really well. Yeah. Tom Selleck, yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Well, let's see what's happening in the news.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 14th of November.
The Jewish Chronicle newspaper this week meets up with Ezra Furman, who is a gender-fluid artist preferring male pronouns, whose work encompasses a wide range of themes, including his bisexuality, being an observant Jewish person, and the back catalogue of another LGBTQ Jewish artist, the legendary Lou Reed. Furman broke through to critical acclaim with an album released in 2013 and came out as gender-fluid and bi in an article he penned for the Guardian newspaper. In the Jewish Chronicle piece, he chats about finding LGBTQ Orthodox community of acceptance and about how Jewish people can best fight the current rise of the political right wing.
Well, we said we would have some top tips for shopping in gifts for the approaching Christmas season, which, let's face it, is celebrated by even the most hard-nosed atheists among us. This year, why not reuse and recycle by buying from a second-hand shop? In Bristol, there are several specialist pre-owned bookshops, including Amnesty International, Oxfam and the British Heart Foundation. We particularly draw your attention to Bloom and Curl, the little indie shop on Colston Street. Proprietor Jason has a huge selection of feminist titles, as well as more general science, philosophy and fiction. Who knows what you might find? And if that wasn't enough, there is often free cake available whilst you browse.
The Radio Times reports a new era of compassion on reality television shows should be ushered in by the ITV network as it appoints gay former leader of the Conservatives in Scotland, Ruth Davidson, as its advisor on real-life television programming. Ms. Davidson quit politics earlier this year to concentrate on time with her young family. This was much to the disappointment of many of her fellow Conservatives in Scotland, where Davidson had overseen a huge growth in Tory fortunes in a country that had traditionally leaned to the political left. Now she is to help beleaguered television companies recover from the scandal that broke during the summer after the deaths of several participants in reality TV shows. Many LGBT people welcomed the findings of reports which slammed the media industry after the incidents, because reality television shows have often pandered to prejudice and shaming of people.
Now, a little bit of history. Gary Moritz, who presents a programme of old gramophone music on the RNIB Connect network, revealed that the religious conservative organisation Lord's Day Observance Society were dealt at a wartime blow than none other than the cheeky chappy George Formby in 1941. The Lord's Observance Society was a grouping that was deeply hated during the middle 20th century for its lobbying to enforce religious morals on an increasingly secular Britain. As late as the 1970s, the organisation was trying to enforce its ideas by having cinemas closed on Sunday and for shops to remain shut. Needless to say, it was homophobic. Well, in the dark days of the Second World War, the group attempted to initiate the prosecution of top entertainer Mr. Formby, whose humorous songs lifted many people's spirits whenever he appeared on BBC Radio or in person at theatre halls. Formby, they alleged, had desecrated the Lord's Day by performing music on the Sabbath. Mr. Formby, who was never known to get involved in politics, issued a tart response saying that once soldiers were not being killed on a Sunday, then he'd stop performing. Now, realising that people needed entertainment on a weekend, the courts threw out the Lord's Day Society's case and the music continued on a Sunday.
For fans of camp pop music formats on the wireless, there is good news as Heat Radio's main service, which was automated earlier in the year, has reintroduced a drive time programme. The station, which has a considerable LGBTQ following for its format of popular dance music forms, including handbag house and pop, has launched a live programme between 5 and 7 in the evenings on a weekday, during which Jordan Lee will host what he says are the biggest bangers and the ultimate throwbacks. Mr. Lee also has a slot on another national digital network, Hits Radio, according to his Twitter feed. Heat Radio, meanwhile, is available online through all mobile devices and is also on Freeview Channel 716.
Now, the non-binary pop star Sam Smith has released a cover version of one of the all-time gay classic tracks. I Feel Love is already gaining much airplay on pop networks such as Capital, Heart and BBC Radio 1, which all cater for a young audience. And it's been much welcomed by fans of disco music of the 70s because I Feel Love was originally a hit for Donna Summer back in 1977. Her release was at the height of the disco music scene of the day, and the late Ms. Summer became a gay icon. It was produced by the famous and experimental record producer Giorgio Moroder and was designed as an exploration of what pop music would sound like 20 years into the future with the latest drum machines and synthesizers. Well, now, over 40 years on, Sam Smith has reinterpreted the original track, re-establishing it as a gay, trans and gender fluid anthem. If you want your copy, you can get it from iTunes and all the usual online outlets.
Local television station Bristol TV reminds us that it is Anti-Bullying Week. The initiative brings together a number of young people's charities, including the National Children's Bureau, and is marked by around three quarters of schools in the United Kingdom. Teaching unions, local authorities, and the groundbreaking LGBTQ charity called Educational Action Challenging Homophobia are all part of the Anti-Bullying Alliance, which is convened by the Children's Bureau. Dozens of organisations participate each year in the campaigns, which are aimed at stamping out the misery of bullying in schools, in college and in the workplace. Psychologists also support the Anti-Bullying Week, advising on how people can stand up to bullies and offering understanding on how a cycle of bullying is perpetuated. Andy Day from the Children's Television, TV and Radio channel CBeebies this year lent his support to the most visible element of Anti-Bullying Week. Called Odd Socks Day, the 12th of November saw people deliberately wearing mismatching socks to work or school to celebrate what makes us all unique, valued and deserving of a life free from fear. If you are impacted by bullying, whether in real time or online, then you can and should take action, speak to someone and seek advice. A good place to start is to provisionally mention each charity against homophobia. You can find them at each.education.
For these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Hans Peregrin and
Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, we did promise just before the news that we had an exclusive track at Airplay. This is the new track, brand new track from Brooke Tate.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, there we have it. This is the new track from Brooke Tate. It's called Dry Ground. It's the first ever Airplay. We're really chuffed to have been able to do that. It's going to be released on the 20th of November, and you'll be able to get it on Spotify, and you can pre-order it there as well. If you want to find out more from Brooke, you can find him on Twitter. Brooke Tate Arts is the handle. Brooke Tate Arts. As I said, that is Dry Ground single that's released on the 20th of November. Now, for our second feature of the show, we're going to go over to the Under the Brolly team for their latest podcast, and they're featuring Trans Day of Remembrance. And if you're not sure about what Under the Brolly is, well, Steve's here. He tells you all about it in the opening.
Hi there,
and welcome to Under the Brolly, the My Umbrella podcast aiming to educate and inform the wider community about the lesser known LGBT plus sexualities, genders, identities, kinks and fetishes. My Umbrella is a volunteer-led support group based in Reading, Berkshire for the lesser known LGBT plus identities. We were launched by Reading Pride in 2015 and our aim is to educate, support and socialise. We also aim to signpost those who require the support and advice from other organisations to the relevant services. This podcast aims to give you an introduction to both the well-known and lesser-known LGBT plus identities. My name is Steve, and this month, as we approach November the 20th, this date marks the Transgender Day of Remembrance. The Transgender Day of Remembrance, also known as TDOR, is also known as the International Transgender Day of Remembrance and has been observed annually from its inception on November the 20th as a date to memorialise those who have been murdered as a result of transphobia. It is also a day to draw attention to the continued violence endured by transgender people. The Transgender Day of Remembrance was founded in 1999 by Gwendolyn Ann Smith, a transgender woman, to memorialise the murder of another transgender woman by the name of Rita Hester in Alston, Massachusetts. It has slowly evolved from the web-based project started by Gwendolyn into an international day of action, and in 2010, the Transgender Day of Remembrance was observed in over 185 cities throughout more than 20 countries. The Transgender Day of Remembrance and Memorial includes a reading of names of those who lost their lives from November the 20th of the former year to November the 20th of the current year, and may include other actions such as candlelight vigils, dedicated church services, marches, art shows, food drives, and film screenings. My Umbrella, in partnership with Reading Pride, this year organises the Transgender Day of Remembrance Vigil. The vigil will take place in Reading Town Centre at Penton Hotel, Hoxford Road, Reading, Berkshire, RG17RH, on Sunday the 17th of November 2019, starting at 3 p.m. The event is an important part of the My Umbrella calendar. As an LGBT plus charity, we celebrate the diversity of being trans, although we also understand it is important to stand together and fight for more rights and equality, not just locally but also in the UK and throughout the world. The Transgender Day of Remembrance is also a stark reminder of how far the UK has come in comparison to other countries around its acceptance of the LGBT plus community. In 72 countries, these criminalise same-sex relationships, and in 45 the law is applied to women as well as men. The death penalty is either allowed or evidence of its existence occurs in 8 countries. In more than half the world, LGBT people may not be protected from discrimination by workplace law. Most governments deny trans people the right to legally change their name and gender from those that were assigned to them at birth. And between 2008 and 2014, there were 1,612 trans people murdered across 62 countries, which is the equivalent to a killing every 2 days. A quarter of the world's population believes that being LGBT should be a crime. And those facts were taken from Stonewall's international work and ILGA World 2016. Everyone has the right to be themselves without fear. And it will take time to secure better recognition for trans people, but by increasing understanding in our communities, informing and inspiring individuals to make a difference, and raising the visibility of trans people's stories and journeys, we can achieve vital gains and pave the way for trans equality year on year. For those of you who wish to find out more about how you can be a great trans ally alongside a whole host of different and varying LGBT plus identities, genders, sexualities, kinks and fetishes, you can grab hold of the new My Umbrella Guide to LGBT plus, available from our online shop, which is located at myumbrella.org.uk/shop. Here you will also find loads of lovely merch in the form of badges, keyrings, bottle openers, magnets and coasters, and a huge selection of various flag designs. Even better, we can now offer personalised products with various flag combinations and can produce almost any flag that is not currently featured in our listings. If you fancy being a part of any future shows, do get in touch with details to follow. Don't worry about people knowing your name or hearing your voice. We have ways and means to disguise this, and you don't have to use your real name. Of course, if any of you want to find out more about My Umbrella, or even regarding the whereabouts of where we're going to be next turning up, or any socials that we will be running monthly, feel free to check out our Facebook, Instagram or Twitter platforms for more information. Just type in My Umbrella into the search bar of any of these and you will find us. As always, for those of you who listen regularly, you don't just need to turn up to a Pride or social event where we are attending to get involved with the show. We would love to hear from any of you out there who want us to showcase your LGBT plus identity or who have any other suggestions for our podcast. Just drop us an email to info@myumbrella.org.uk and put in the subject line Under the Brolly and let us know what LGBT plus identity, sexuality, gender, kink, fetish or idea you want us to feature. It could be yours or it could be one that you've never heard of. Until then, we'll see you soon. Bye!
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
There's something I think a lot of us can identify with. Do your selfies look like you, team?
I'm so glad my selfies don't look like me.
Absolutely not. That would be horrific.
I think it's weird how we will never actually see ourselves, though. Like, because of, like, you never see what you look like.
Well, you see yourself in a mirror.
We do.
Yeah, but it's a mirror image.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's true. That is very true.
Yeah. That's where the selfie comes in, though, isn't
it? Because
if you...
I'm like a vampire. I don't come out in photos anyway.
Oh.
Well, that's true. Terry has no reflection.
I've never noticed before. Very quickly, a previous guest on the show, our marathon runner, 4-hour Ben. Ben Smith is doing something, isn't he?
Indeed, Terry. Ben Smith, a local boy from Portishead, was interviewed by the BBC today. You know, other radio stations are available, not just this one you're listening to. No. He is running a marathon. He heads up the 401 Foundation, which campaigns against bullying. He's running a marathon in every single US state, and he's cycling between each marathon, and he's doing that in 2020. So good luck, Ben.
Oh, absolutely. Good luck. That is absolutely extraordinary. Well, that music, though, means that I should congratulate you all for making it to the end of the show. You've survived. Well done.
If you'd like to listen again or catch previous episodes of Shout Out, just go to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. On next week's show, we'll be bringing you a World AIDS Day special.
Definitely not one to be missed. You've been listening to Shout Out with Laura Lalamy and Lalamy. Matthew Tosh, and produced by Steffi Barnett in Bristol, and it's broadcast from the BCFM studios. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to your company again next week. Until then, we say goodbye.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.